Hola and welcome back to Voice Memos. In this episode, I want to talk about the linguistic implications of Taylor Swift's newest album, The Life of a Showgirl. At this time, it has not come out yet, so most of these are speculations, but speculations under the framework of a book I recently read, Algo Speak by Adam Alexic. So if you're interested in the intersection of linguistics and pop culture, stay tuned, because that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. So let's get into it. All right, so I feel like any Taylor Swift video that has some nuance in it has to come with a disclaimer. Yes, I know she's a billionaire, and there are many, many ethical problems that come with that. I actually have a whole zine about it. It's called Eat the Rich Eatery. And it's a brunch menu style, like, trifold zine. So I will link it in the description of this episode if you want some of my more, like, there's not a lot of nuance you can get into with a zine this size, but I definitely have some thoughts and opinions about Taylor Swift being a billionaire. The subtitle here is A Breakfast Menu for Concerned Swifties Who Are Wondering What Taylor Swift's Recent Admission to the Billionaire Club Means. So I am thinking about it. I am a Swiftie, and it is an area of internal turmoil and conflict for me because I've invested years and years now into loving her music, feeling like she can describe many of my emotions with a song. And I think that's a feeling that many women have that listen to her. She has some really great lyricism. So I'm not going to get into all of the controversy with what being Taylor Swift is. I'm more interested in her linguistic impact, especially with, like, how we've seen eras be absorbed into, like, the zeitgeist and how people just interpret their lives now and what the implications are for having a new album come out and what that might do to our language in the coming, like, I think we're 12 days out. So it might become a phenomenon. So I want to talk about it. And what inspired me to do this is a book, Algo Speak, by Adam Alexic. He is a online persona and linguistics nerd. I looked into his credentials. I don't think he actually has, like, a PhD or anything. He went to Harvard, and he had a concentration in linguistics. So credentials-wise, we are about the same, actually. I didn't minor in linguistics or concentrate in it, but my entire senior thesis was a linguistics paper, and specifically in Spanish, the linguistics of some different focus areas in Spanish. So we have similar credentials, surprisingly, and I've read now, this is my third book that I've read about linguistics since graduating college. So while I'm not making, like, a daily video breaking down etymology, I am also a linguistics nerd, which actually puts us in the same category. So kind of interesting. And that's also why I'm excited to talk about his book, because the book analyzes internet culture through a linguistics framework. And there is just an intrinsic connection between the internet and how we speak, and then how we speak impacts the internet. So there's a very tight cycle. And he does a great job in the book with bringing up examples, and not just examples from the mainstream, but also digging into, like, marginalized and minority populations and how their impact flows into the greater, like, conversation that's happening on the internet. So it's a great book if you're interested, if you're chronically online, if you're interested in linguistics, I would give it a read. It's not that long. And it's fun because he's talking about things that we've all recently lived through. And the area I'm going to focus on from his book is the word eras and how Taylor Swift has impacted our language and the way we talk. For example, I'm currently in my crochet era. I was going to crochet while speaking on this podcast because I actually have a lot of crochet to get done in the next 12 days. I'm working on a crochet cardigan, but now that I am speaking and trying to sound eloquent and looking at my crochet work, I don't think I'll be able to do it. I think the crochet will happen while I'm editing this podcast. So I'm just going to put that down. But just know, I'm in my crochet era through and through. I just finished a crochet balaclava with granny squares, and now I'm working on a crochet cardigan. So wish me luck in my crochet endeavors. But it really leads me into this whole idea of eras. I'll read this quote directly from the book I'll Go Speak. So what Adam says here is, after Taylor Swift announced her Eras tour in late 2022, the phrasal template "in my ex era" became a widely popular way to describe a period of one's life. Although some versions of the grammatical construction had been circulating in music fandom for a while, it was only truly brought into vogue through the Swiftie fanelect. I love that word, fanelect. Like dialect, but the words that fans use. So since the phrase was easily applicable to a variety of situations, it diffused through memes entirely unrelated to the pop star and was able to leak into the general usage among in-person interactions. Like any slang phrase, it caught on as a trend that held our attention. So this is what I'm saying with eras. It goes beyond the fan base, even beyond criticism of Taylor Swift. Like, even if you're anti-Swift, you might end up saying eras because it has become so ubiquitous in use. And I will see it. You can see it literally everywhere. I feel like it's even seeped into like mainstream marketing. And yeah, like it's to a point where we probably will stop using it because it is so ingrained now in how we speak. But it is everywhere. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, the Eras Tour became something bigger than Taylor Swift, and I'm wondering, as Taylor Swift continues to become bigger and bigger and bigger, was that her, like, peak moment of contribution to language? Like, or will Showgirl, The Life of a Showgirl, her new album, will that also become a huge contribution to language? We don't know yet, because it hasn't come out yet. But I'm wondering, like, with the impact of the Eras Tour, will we see any similar type of impact from this new album that is completely outside of the Eras Tour? And I think it's interesting that the Eras Tour is done, so that gives space for this new album to become its own thing, which is why I feel like it might actually impact language at a similar level that the Eras Tour did, because it's Taylor Swift's newest and biggest, greatest thing, in theory. When I first saw the announcement for Life of a Showgirl, obviously I'm a Swiftie. I love it. I stan her. Like, I think the album art is great. Like, I love the concept. It's glittery. It's fun. And then as I, like, sat with the album title and, like, more and more visuals came out from it, it's giving, like, very flapper girl, diamonds, glamour, like, all this stuff. I'm like, how relatable is this album going to be? Because she said it's on the podcast, if you're a listener of the New Heights podcast, she said it would be banger after banger after banger. So I'm like, yes, of course, I can get behind like a fantasy world or a concept in a song that I don't completely relate to. But Taylor Swift's whole brand is that her music is relatable. So I'm like, okay, something on here about Showgirl is going to be relatable to the masses. Even an office girly like myself, I'm like, and yes, I'm doing this podcast. I definitely have more of an internet presence than some. But I'm like, how Showgirl is the average girl? That's my investigative question, I guess. And so that's when it kind of clicked for me was, if you think about it, what is a Showgirl? Showgirl, she is a performer. There is glamour, exoticism, fashion, and yet it is all a facade. And hidden behind that glamour is the showgirl's true feelings about being a performer, right? There's exhaustion. There's imposter syndrome. Like, am I even supposed to be on this stage? Do I deserve this attention? And then there's that performative aspect to live up to expectations. Like, can I top the last show? And so obviously that all is in line with like Taylor Swift's experience. Like, she lives that to a T. But how does it really apply to the average girly? And I think you can see where I'm going here, but let's get into it even deeper. Deeper dive. So the internet, in my theory, has turned all of us into showgirls. And I think this is where it intersects with Algo Speak so perfectly, because if we're all showgirls, that means our language is already catered to that of showgirl. And I think showgirl will then circle back and plug right back into our language once it comes out. So before the Showgirl album, what did we have to describe a showgirl? We had main character moment, right? She's the main character. But like all of this main character ideology where you are making it all about yourself, you have this air of confidence. And what Adam says about main character is that, and this is a quote from his book, ironically, true individuality may come out of a lack of labels and stories because there's a greater freedom of expression with a blank slate. If everybody's the main character, then nobody is. And so this is where I think main character is really like completely tied with showgirl, where a main character is a characterization, a caricature even, of yourself. So like a showgirl, it flattens you, right? You'll never be able to communicate every niche and crevice of your complex identity as the main character. Main characters are pushed into tropes. They fall into archetypes and character arcs over and over again. If you're a book girly, you know all about it, right? Like the tropes. And I just think about all of like the biggest main characters out there right now in book talk land, like Feyre and Violet Sorengale, and even like any girl in like a romance novel. Like there's this template. And so despite like the novel supposedly completely revolving around them, they are flattened to a degree. And I think that same thing happens with showgirls, where they have to play the part. They are following the choreography to a T. They are doing the same moves over and over again. And then at the end of the day, they clock out of the show. The show's over at 5. So while people are craving authenticity from our internet showgirls, unfortunately, we are stuck on platforms that promote the opposite. We promote characterization of yourself, fit into the algorithm, be a showgirl, basically. So while it might seem like an aspirational thing to be the main character, when you assume that confidence, when you like make yourself the main character, there is a risk of losing part of yourself to become that expectation. And a little bit of a side note, like back to my idea of like, is this album even going to be relatable to a 9-to-5 girl? Boss Babe. I feel like that was also like before main character, there was Boss Babe. And a Boss Babe would show up to the office and she has that confidence. She can do anything. And yet behind that idea of Boss Babe, there is that feeling of imposter syndrome. Am I supposed to be here? Am I qualified to be here? Like, are people like, do people think I'm a bitch because I'm being bossy? Like, all of these ideas swirling behind the glamour and the glitz of being a boss babe. So I hope I'm not losing you. So Boss Babe, main character, those were both words we had before we had showgirl. And so with this new album launch, maybe showgirl will replace those ideas and maybe it'll take on a bigger meaning when it releases. We don't know. But I'm just thinking, I'm like, what is Taylor Swift thinking and how does she think this will be relatable to everyone else? So I talked about this a little bit, how the internet is turning us all into showgirls, influencers even more so than consumers of internet culture. They are getting hurt by this the most, right? And try being an influencer for a day. Like, obviously, it's a very cushy job. But there are restraints and constrictions on it. So this is what Adam says about influencers. A 2023 University of Oxford study found that essentially all influencers are purposefully minimizing their own creativity in order to pander to perceived algorithmic tastes and subsequently enhance their visibility. This affects not only our choice of content, but also our aesthetics, creative processes, and overall strategies. So what this quote is saying is that influencers characterize themselves to fall into algorithm niches. And that's what we've been saying with the showgirl idea, is that it's all about characterizing yourself, putting on a performance to fit expectations. On the internet, like, this has been a constant problem with people seeking authenticity on these platforms, but the algorithm is always going to prefer someone that they that the algorithm can uniquely identify, easily categorize, put labels on them. And so if you are too complex, then it's hard for the algorithm to push you out to the quote right people. So that's why we all become a little showgirl on the internet. And it's what the influencers are doing right now. They're all finding their niche, and it's to their detriment. It is limiting. And so that's why on this podcast, I kind of cover whatever I want. Like, I have a framework. I like to cover creativity, self-care, and career. I think I've been talking about all of those on this episode so far. But those are also really broad categories, so that I can just talk about whatever I want. And it's also why I stopped posting on Instagram, both as an artist and myself. I had three Instagram accounts at one point, one for this podcast, one for my art, and one for, like, private myself. And I just became exhausted with limiting myself, trying to fit into that algorithm, trying to get my art account off the ground. Like, it pretty much got stuck at 300 followers, and it's because I did not want to cave to that showgirl mentality where I'm performing every night. I didn't want to post every day where I have to have a certain look. I didn't want to be stuck in a certain look for my art. Like, yeah, it was fun at first to, like, only post pink art. But at some point, I'm like, I want to make something blue. I want to make something purple. And that didn't fit my Instagram aesthetic, my showgirl aesthetic. And so the performativism of posting became a detriment to my art. And so that's why I don't really post on Instagram anymore, because it wasn't rewarding creativity. It was rewarding conformity. And I think that's what Adam's saying here. And I think that's what this showgirl album could be saying. It's that a showgirl is limited to the pre-planned choreography, and she's only there for the audience, not herself. So the implications of this word, showgirl, on the way that we are experiencing peak algorithm and social media fatigue right now, I think everyone is kind of, like, feeling this sense of showgirlism, but we haven't been saying it. And this album, maybe it might help us say it. I think this also ties into this trend of going back to physical media. And why do I say that? Let's talk about Spotify, okay? People are very frustrated with the Spotify experience right now, and I think it is tied to this showgirl idea. And what is the most showgirl aspect of Spotify? Like, when I was making this podcast outline, I'm like, how does it tie in? I think it ties in from the daylist. The daylist turns your listening habits into a new persona every day, and further distills it into 3 to 4, like, catchy moods or phrases. And so, for example, my current daylist is Surprised Songwriter Sunday Afternoon. Here's some songwriter surprised delicate pop relationship flannel. What? Like, some of those are not even, like, adjectives or categories. Flannel. I don't even, what music is flannel? So Spotify has done the same thing that influencers are doing, that we're all doing when we're scrolling around on the internet. Spotify has tagged every artist, every song with different micro genres and metadata so that it can turn your music interests into a caricature playlist. Turns you into this idea. It's like Angela on Sundays is very flannel, so let's give her flannel music. I don't know what that means, but when everything is hyper curated, I can search on Spotify getting ready, and it gives me a curated playlist of songs for me to get ready to. How does it know what I want to listen to when I get ready? Sometimes it knows, sometimes it doesn't. And it just becomes stale. Like, I'm not hearing new sounds, and I'm hearing the same songs over and over again. And I think people are getting tired of getting pushed the same stuff over and over again. There's, like, when we first joined Spotify, it was about, like, discovery, finding new music, being able to listen to any song. And now we're listening to the same songs over and over again. Plus, the artists are getting, like, killed on, like, just payouts. So I think we could even go one layer deeper in that, you know, many of these artists that we're listening to are in fact themselves showgirls. I just finished Britney Spears' memoir, and that's a great inside look into a real showgirl's life. And so, like, these artists are limiting their creativity similar to anyone on the internet. They're trying to fit into these labels. They are trying to get their song to number one. And so we lose the authenticity while seeking, like, the fame and the glamour. And so, in essence, we turn our artists into showgirls, and we lose out on the experimental, the unique, and the things that break out of the mold that can't really be labeled cleanly like the algorithms and Spotify want to. So this one is a little bit more abstract, but I think that's why, like, people are trying to leave these streaming services. They want to get back into a mode where they're curating for themselves outside of the algorithm and the trends. And Adam has this great quote about how the words being spread by the algorithm now serve as labels and metadata. At a certain point, the distinction breaks down and the SEO terms can be extended to every domain of your life. And so I think that really speaks to how the internet has caused all of us to fully embody showgirl 24/7. Like, people are going out in their real life and being like, yeah, I'm like, so Y2K, I'm like cottagecore. And they are, like, labeling themselves in real life without, like, the need to do that, or, like, realizing, like, this is something I'm supposed to clock out of. Like, I go beyond these labels, and I will struggle when I meet a new person. They're like, oh, what do you do outside of work? I'm like, what don't I do outside of work? I do so many things, and I don't want to make my life an elevator pitch. But I think we've all been trained to do that with our little bios on Instagram and TikTok and all that. Like, everyone wants to distill themselves into, like, key words to be able to find each other on the internet. And then we do that in real life. And then it makes it harder to just, like, try new things, because you're like, oh, I'm X, Y, and Z, so I don't do that other stuff. So you can see why it's kind of, like, sad that we've so fully embraced the showgirl life. And yeah, I think this could mean a couple different things. So, like, to kind of close it out, tie it all up, the era's word and phenomenon, that gave us an introspective opportunity. We can look back at our lives and, like, classify them into eras, enjoy, like, some nostalgia, some closure. We can see how we've, like, evolved the journey through life. We're like, okay, like, I might have felt crazy at that time, but that was my, like, whatever era, and that's over now, and I learned, and I'm now in this new era. And I think that was really a great tool for a lot of people. But now, if showgirl becomes a phenomenon like eras, could it be like the nail in the coffin for all this performative internet culture that we are so sick of? Could it be, could it spell the end for the influencer archetype? Could it be the end of all this micro labeling and micro genres and micro trends? Like, are we tired of being up on that stage for an audience when really, like, that is flattening us to a point where we don't even recognize ourselves? So what do I think it could actually play out to be once the album's out there and people are talking about it? Maybe it's just a simple call out in the comment section. So-and-so is being a little too showgirl lately. Why are you labeling yourself? Why are you pigeonholing yourself? Why are you selling out for this brand in, like, when you're claiming this is your real self? So it might be a call out. Could it be a wink, wink, nudge, nudge that we are all in this show together? Because if we are all showgirls, could it be that as the showgirls, we can see all the cracks and the duct tape holding it together and the flickering stage light that signals the end is near? I think I could have gone way darker with this episode, but I just felt like politics right now is just so heavy. And the censorship is really heavy. I was thinking about talking about it, but I'm actually tired of hearing about it. So I'm wondering if showgirl could be that word to describe, like, it feels like this is all a facade, the way that we're doing the world right now, and it is going to crumble. Something's going to tip. People are going to stop coming to the show if it's actually, like, ugly behind the scenes. So I'm thinking, like, the AI bubble, the algorithm fatigue, the increased censorship and violence in our country. Like, we continue to pretend that the show's still going as normal, happy, but, like, in the background, there's political violence, like, happening almost every week now. So, but we're all pretending like it's okay, or it's a one-off thing. So that's, like, a little bit of a darker take on it, but maybe it would be another way to call things out, that this is getting a little too performative. We need a reality check. And then my last idea is it a farewell? Is it an I'm unplugging, I'm canceling my streaming services, I'm logging out, and I'm clocking out of my showgirl performance? And I think that might be the most realistic one, where people are done. People are done with social media not being social. People are done with influencers that are just there to sell things. People are done with just being constantly sold things everywhere. And especially in this recession indicator, like, gray area that we're in, I think people just want some real human connection. So what do you think showgirl will mean? How do you think it will change the way we talk about politics, pop culture? What do you think it will spell for talking about the internet and participating in the internet? I'm curious to hear your thoughts, and thanks for listening. I do this podcast on a bi-weekly basis on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. So if you want to hear more about it or learn more about it, visit angelageorge.com/voice-memos, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.